Grab your Bible. We are in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. If you are a guest here, we are just walking verse by verse through the book of Luke. It's kind of what we do around here. And today we are in chapter 5, where he heals a couple of men, and then we see Jesus' power, see their faith. We see at the end some criticism from the Pharisees. We want to make sure we learn from all of these parts of the story and grow together in them. So we'll read the whole thing. There's two stories here, one about Jesus healing a leper and one about Jesus healing a paralytic. We'll read all of it and then we'll talk through it together. If you don't have a Bible, like a physical copy of the Bible like this, there are some black pew Bibles there in your row. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love for you to take that one and open it to page 808 or 809. And if you don't own a Bible at all, invite you to take that home with you and make it yours and read it and do what it says, okay? I think it would be good for us to have. There's nothing wrong with technology, okay? But let the old man speak to you for a second. Have a Bible, okay? Have a physical copy of the Bible that you can get away from the distractions and notifications and just sit with the Word together with the Lord. So, all right, Luke chapter 5, 12 through 26. We'll just read the whole thing here, and we'll talk about it. So while Jesus, is in one of the cities, they came to a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but to go show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for the proof to them. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad. The great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But Jesus, would withdraw to desolate places and pray. And one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. I'll tell you, like, this is the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they've taken notice of what's going on with Jesus, okay? They're hearing these stories, and they've sent this pastor search committee to find out for themselves what's going on, okay? They've heard enough about it. Now we've got to find out for sure what's going on. So they send some religious leaders from all over, right? From every village of Galilee and Judea, and some from Samaria, from Jerusalem, okay? So they're coming to find out what the heck's going on with this Jesus guy. Verse 18, "And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof, and they let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus." So they rip open the roof and let this guy in. "And when he saw their faith, he said, 'Man, your sins are forgiven.' And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, 'Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive God, but who can forgive sins but God alone?' No one is the answer to that question." They just didn't understand he's God. "When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them and said, 'Why do you question in your hearts which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know," and underline that, "you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins.' He said to the man who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home.' And he immediately rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, 'We have seen extraordinary things today.'" No kidding, right? Unbelievable story here. Great news, what Jesus does for them, and some great news for us as well. So I want to see something about Jesus here. I want to see something about the leper and the paralytic and their friends, and then we'll see something about the Pharisees. And hopefully in all of this, we can learn to see ourselves in it, okay? First thing I want you to see about Jesus is this. We've been saying this for a few weeks here because this is what Luke is giving us. But the thing we see about Jesus here is he has all authority to heal. Okay, he has all authority to heal these men. You remember, he has had authority to cast out demons. He had authority to heal a woman with a fever. He had authority over the fish and the fishermen. And now we see that he has all authority to heal. He heals these men. And when he heals them, it shows us that he has the authority to do that. He has all authority at all times and all things. Jesus has that authority. And I would just, he's always had that. He always will have that. You remember in the Great Commission, Jesus says to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." I always like to remind us that Jesus is the one with the authority. You're not the one with the authority. I'm not the one with the authority. Jesus is the one with the authority. And so we look to him as our one true God, Savior that he is, to give all authority. He has all authority, so he gives us the power to do things. But don't forget that the authority and the power rests in Jesus and Jesus alone, not in you, not in me. He has the power to do these things, the authority to do these things. And when, second point, when he does this, when he heals, when he heals physically and spiritually, it is complete and immediate. And when he heals spiritually, it's eternal, okay? When Jesus heals spiritually and physically, it is immediate and it is complete healing. And I want to put in there as well, when he heals spiritually, it's eternal, okay? It's for all of time that he heals people. I want you to see in both of these, I'll point it out to you quickly. Verse 13, look at verse 12. It says, he was in one of the cities, the man full of leprosy comes to him. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Skip down to verse 24. He says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose up from before them and picked up his bed he was lying on and went home. Okay, his ability to heal is complete, and it's immediately. Immediately his leprosy left him. Immediately the man with paralysis gets up and walks off. It's immediate. It's complete. And when it comes to our spiritual healing, it is eternal. Look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23 to 25. Really good verses here. "The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office, but he," Jesus, "holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently," I love verse 25, "consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost," to the end, okay? It's this idea. He's able to save all the way, complete, perfect, eternal salvation. He's able to save to the uttermost. Who? Those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. This is the kind, because, okay, get this, the reason Jesus is able to do this is because he has all authority. That's what Luke is wanting Theophilus to understand and wanting us to understand is the reason that Jesus can heal and save immediately, completely, and eternally is because he has all authority. He's the only one who can do that because he has the authority to do that. None of these other scribes or priests or Pharisees, they didn't have the authority. The reason they couldn't do it is they didn't have the authority to do it. Jesus is the one with the authority to do it. So since he has that authority, when he does it, it is complete, it is immediate, and thanks be to God for you and I spiritually, it is eternal. He's able to save to the uttermost, to the end, those who put their faith in Jesus because he's always living to make intercession for them. It's just a beautiful picture here. But I want you to get this, okay? And this, what Jesus is going to say to these people is this next point. The greatest miracle Jesus is ever going to perform is the forgiveness of sins. And so if you're a sign seeker in here, if I can just see a sign, now I would believe, all right, well, here's the greatest sign you'll ever see. An eternal God forgives sinners of their sin. That's the greatest miracle he's ever going to perform. And all of these other miracles that Jesus performs is pointing us to the fact that he has the authority to do that. Okay, I want you to go back and read in verse 20. Jesus sees these guys, bring this guy in. It's amazing, okay? Dedication to this friend. Brings them in. And when he saw their faith, verse 20, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven of you." When the scribes and Pharisees begin to question, saying, "Man, who's this guy think he is, saying he can forgive sins and stuff? He ain't God." Wrong. 22, Jesus perceiving their thoughts, isn't that great? He knew their thoughts. He knows between the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. He knows everything. He says, "Why do you question in your heart these things? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you or to say rise up and walk?" Well, which is easier to say? It's easier to say your sins are forgiven. Why is that easier to say your sins are forgiven? Because it requires no immediate evidence, right? Like I could say your sins are forgiven. That's a spiritual thing that doesn't require immediate physical evidence. But Jesus said, so which is easier to say your sins are forgiven or rise up and walk? So it's easier to say your sins are forgiven. It's harder to say rise and walk to this paralytic man that's been dropped down through the ceiling because if he doesn't rise and walk, then it proves Jesus doesn't have any authority, right? That's what it's going to prove. Jesus asked him that. What's easier to say? It's easier to say your sins are forgiven or rise and walk. But, he says in verse 24, you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. He looked at the man who was paralyzed and he said, "I rise, pick up your bed, and go home. This is the truth, is that these miracles are pointing to a greater miracle. When we see Jesus raise people from the dead, when you see him heal this man that is paralyzed, when you see him heal the leper, all of those things, these physical healings, this is the next point, which goes to that one above it. These physical healings are pointing us to a greater reality, and that is spiritual healing. Spiritual healing is the greatest miracle that Jesus is going to perform. The forgiveness of our sins, making us alive together with Christ, taking the heart of stone and putting in us a heart of flesh. This work of Jesus is the greatest miracle that he ever performs. And all of these other physical healings are meant to point us to this spiritual reality, which is why I would just tell you, like, if you're seeking physical signs to understand the power of Jesus, you're seeking a lesser glory. The great glory, the great miracle of Christ is the forgiveness of sins. When he takes our hearts of stone and puts in us hearts of flesh. When he takes an old man who is dead in his trespasses and sins and makes us alive together with Christ. That physical, resurrection of our hearts, that is the greatest miracle Jesus ever performs in here and in this room. He's continuing to do that, and we can rest in that, and we can glory in that. Greatest miracle he's ever going to perform is the forgiveness of sins. And so when we see these physical healings, they're always meant to point us to a greater reality, that is spiritual healing, okay? Let's make sure we get that, make sure we understand that and the glory of Christ in that. So that's the theological things about Jesus here. Has all authority. When he heals physically, spiritually, completely, immediately, and eternally. The greatest miracle ever performs is forgiveness of sins, and his physical healing points us to a greater reality, spiritual healing. Now, that's Jesus, okay? What about the paralytic and the leper and their friends? What can that teach us about us? There's things to teach us about us here. I want you to see in them a few things. Four characteristics here that we need the Lord to continue to grow in us. The leper, the paralytic, and his friends are four things. They're desperate, they're urgent, they're humble, and they're full of faith. Okay? Desperate, urgent, humble, full of faith. And let's point out the desperation here. First in the leper. I don't know if you know this or not, but lepers still exist in this world. There's still millions of lepers in this world. I told you this a few weeks ago, but when we were in India a couple of years ago, we had the opportunity to work with some lepers. And lepers in India are still considered outcasts. The lowest caste is lepers, okay? Leprosy is a skin disease that causes people to lose feeling in their extremities. And so if you see a leper, if you've ever seen pictures of a leper, their extremities are deformed, but they're deformed mainly because they've lost feeling in their hands and they've hurt themselves because of this deformity, okay? And so if they have a nub for a hand or a finger, it's because of the lack of feeling and the numbness in their hands, they've done something that's caused them bodily harm because they didn't have the nerve endings or the feeling to know not to do that, okay? That's why they maybe have these deformities. And leprosy, though been considered for thousands of years to be very, very, very contagious, is not very contagious, okay? The only way that you can contract leprosy is by over a long period of time being in exchanging bodily fluids with people that are lepers. And so it's untrue that you can contract that really quickly. And so it was just a beautiful experience for us when we were in India to be able to minister to these people and just to touch them, okay? Just physical contact, hold their hands, put your arm around them. If you can imagine, no one ever touches you, ever. For years, no one's touched you. And then you have this opportunity to love someone and put your arm around them and embrace them. It's a picture we see here with Jesus. I don't know if you, in this scene in the New Testament, a leper would have lived outside of the city. And when they came into the city or village, when they were walking down the street, this is what they would have had to done. They had to yell out, unclean, unclean, unclean. Everywhere they go, yelling out, unclean. Can you imagine you talk about a scarlet letter that pierces deep into your own soul? If everywhere you went, everyone knew what was wrong with you, so much so that you had to yell out unclean when you walked into the ferg. Okay? Imagine that one. So this guy gonna come to Jesus, and the whole way there, unclean, unclean, unclean. People hear him, you know what they do? They move out of the way, okay? Because they don't want to touch this guy or be touched by this guy, because if I touch him, now I become unclean. So get out of the way. What does this guy do? He goes to Jesus. And I tell you that he is desperate because of this. The easy thing for this guy to do would have been to stay at home, right? Like imagine, just imagine it for a moment. You're walking into Bryant-Denny Stadium, or you're walking into the Ferguson Center, or you're walking into wherever you go. And every step you take, you have to yell unclean. You know what most of us are going to do? We're going to stay at home. Right? Like if that's going to be my identity, I'm isolating myself. I don't want to have to deal with that. But this man is desperate. He's desperate for healing. And so he does whatever is necessary to get to Jesus. He lays aside any kind of self-worth he might have, this tiny bit of self-worth he might have still had. He lays it down to go to Jesus. Same thing with his friends and this paralytic, right? They're desperate. They do whatever it takes. Rip a hole in the guy's roof. Can you imagine being the guy whose house Jesus was in? You're like, I don't have any insurance here in Galilee. Is somebody going to come back and fix this roof? They're desperate. And they're urgent. This is the second thing I would tell you. They're urgent. They don't wait around. This leper doesn't say, man, I sure hope Jesus comes around here. I would really like to meet him. Maybe he could heal me. No, he's urgent. He goes. These men with the leper, with the guy with paralysis, they're desperate. They don't say, hey, there's a lot of people in the house. I guess we'll just hang out here. Maybe Jesus comes by. Maybe he'll, you know, have mercy. No, they're urgent, right? They go. Urgent. They're humble. I love what the leper says to Jesus when he gets in. Look at verse 12 again. When Jesus saw this, begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. That is a statement. That's not a question. He doesn't say, Lord, if you will, can you make me clean? He says, you can make me clean. There's a confession of who Jesus is there, right? He humbly goes and bows himself before the Lord and says, you can do this. Would you please do this? If you will, you can make me clean. And these guys, same thing with the paralytic and his friends. They're humble. They humble themselves and they're full of faith. And they really do believe in who Jesus is. And these guys are believing in Jesus only having heard of him. They've heard of what he has done. Probably have never seen him. Maybe they have, but not much. They don't have the New Testament to read. They've just heard the stories of Jesus, and they are going full of faith, risking everything to go to Jesus. They go to him desperately, urgently, humbly, and full of faith. And look, you and I are spiritual lepers. We have spiritual paralysis, okay? We do not have the power or the ability to heal ourselves. We need Jesus, our all-powerful, all-sufficient Savior, to heal us from our all-encompassing disease, sin. That's what this picture is. It's what it's for. And when these guys come to Jesus, man, he has complete authority and complete power. But I want you to notice one other thing about Jesus. He has complete compassion as well. Back up with the leper. Verse 13. Let's read it again, 12, 13. What do I care? He was in one of the cities, became a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Don't read over that. Jesus has all authority. He could have said, you're clean, and not touched him. What does Jesus do? He shows compassion to this guy. This all-powerful, all-sufficient Savior is also all-compassionate. He touches this man, again, who probably has not been touched in years. In years been touched. And Jesus is compassionate to him and says, first he touches him, okay? Which again, in the Jewish world would have made Jesus ceremonially unclean, except he's about to heal him, so he's not going to be dirty anymore. He's not going to be full of leprosy anymore. He touches him and says, I will be healed. And then immediately it leaves him. He's very compassionate to this man and to these men. He says, your sins are forgiven. Then he says, rise and walk. But I want to make sure you get this, and don't miss this point. The biggest problem in the leper's life was not his leprosy. The biggest problem in the paralytic man's life was not his paralysis. His biggest issue and his biggest need was his sin and the need for his sin to be forgiven. These other things were of lesser importance. Not to say they aren't at all important, but Jesus knew this paralyzed man, his greatest need was to have his sins forgiven. Maybe his second greatest need was to be able to get up and walk, but his greatest need was spiritual, not physical. He knows the same thing about me and you. And thankfully, even though we don't have the power or the ability to heal ourselves, we have Jesus, who is all-powerful, all-sufficient, and he can and will heal us of our all-encompassing disease as well, our own sinfulness. And I want you to notice, lastly, okay, just a word of warning for us. I want you to see the Pharisees. Again, look at verse 17. On one of the days he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They come from every village in Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And hear this, okay? These guys aren't there to learn. These guys are there to critique. These guys are sitting with their arms crossed, trying to find something wrong with what Jesus is saying. And look, you know this. If you're looking for something wrong, it's really easy to find, right? Like if I go into a class or a service or a book or whatever, or church, if I'm trying to find something I don't like, it doesn't take me long to find it, okay? And you're looking at a super critical dude right here. That's something I struggle hard with. Struggle hard with. There's a difference between being evaluating things and being critical, right? That has everything to do with my attitude and my spirit. It's okay to listen to, you know, you want to listen to things through the lens of Scripture. You want to hear things through the lens of what God has told us. You can do that and not have a critical spirit. These guys came to find something wrong, and they found it. It says, Jesus is there, all authority is given to him. Go down to verse 21. And the scribes and Pharisees began to question, saying, who's this guy think he is? Who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? I want you to notice here, the bottom, last point there. Notice the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Instead of loving the people that were called the shepherd, they show indifference to them. Instead of helping, they criticized. So, I mean, Pharisees and teachers, they are the pastors of the Jews, right? They're the religious leaders. They should have been helping. They should have been engaging and been encouraging. And this paralyzed man is let down through the roof. They should have been the first ones to step up and help grab him and bring him down. Should have been helping. Should have been loving. Should have been shepherding. That's not what they're doing. What are they doing? They're indifferent towards what's going on, and they're critical of what's going on. Man, we got to be careful that we don't become that person. Look, you should, everything you hear in this room or any room, you should listen to it and ask yourself, is it true according to the Scriptures? I'm not saying that. You should absolutely do that. You should test the Spirit. You should be excellent at what is good. You should be innocent of evil. You should do that. But you can do that and not become a person that is critical of everything. And in the social media world we live in, where everyone has a voice about everything at all times, and you got to be careful that you don't develop a critical spirit. You don't become like these Pharisees who, instead of joining in the work of God, are just Monday morning quarterbacking what's going on. Instead of engaging in that, just always looking to find what's wrong. And look, it is sinfulness in me, okay? But like, we can have like the greatest day in the world here at Capstone Church. And you know what I'm doing on Sunday afternoons and Monday? How could we have done that better? What could we have done better? What did we miss? That was all right. Man, and not just celebrating and resting in the faithfulness of God to work in spite of us, which is what we should be doing. Just always trying to get better And that's dangerous, and it's idolatrous, honestly. So let's be careful not to be that person and do that. But I love how Jesus handles this, okay? I love how he handles it with these people. Imagine, you got Jesus sitting here, and I imagine things a lot in my head, which might be dangerous, but this guy comes, he's teaching these people, his room just packed full of people. This guy comes down, he put him in front of Jesus, and he looks at him and says, "Your sins are forgiven." He hears grumbling from the peanut gallery over here, okay? And he looks over at these guys and says, "What'd you say?" Or, "What'd you think?" Which is awesome. And then he says, "Let me ask you fellas a question. What do you think's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or get up and walk? But so that you, and consequently everyone, would know that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins, hey buddy, get up and walk." And the guy gets up and walks home with his friends. Can you imagine that conversation? Him and his buddies running home, running to wherever they're from. "Thank you guys for carrying me. Have I told you thank you? Thank you for carrying me to Jesus. Now I can walk," right? This is a beautiful picture of the Son of Man who looks at these critical men who are questioning everything, who are indifferent towards the needs of these people, and showing them he has all authority in all things. So I want you to think about this, and we're done. I don't know if you've trusted Christ or not in this room. You've never trusted Jesus. He invites you to himself. You're broken. That's okay. You've royally screwed everything up. That's okay, right? You're spiritually a leper. You're spiritually paralyzed. Jesus says, "Come. Come to me." And when you'll come to him, I promise you, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. He will heal you. He will forgive you totally, completely, immediately, and eternally. That's great news for us sinners in the room. He'll do that for you. If you'll just confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from that, just believe in this all-glorious, all-compassionate Savior, he will give you a new heart and a new life. He will transfer you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's what God does. And I just want to implore you to trust Christ today if that's you. Look, if you know Jesus, maybe you've become hardened to these things. Here's the thing I've been praying the Lord would do for me when I read this, is that God would place back in me this desire, these characteristics that the leper and the paralytic man and his friends had, that you and I would become, remind ourselves of how desperate we are of Jesus, that we would urgently come to him, we would humble ourselves, and he would fill us with faith so we can do his will and know him. We would not become so hardened to these things that we lose that desperation, that we lose that urgency, that we lose that humility like these men had. We could be those kinds of people, and that God would help us not be these critical, overthinking, indifferent Christians that don't care about people and don't care about the things that he's doing in us and around us. Man, God, help us not become that at all. Would you join me as we pray together? So, Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for these beautifully true stories of our Savior, who has all authority at all times to do all things. He can heal the physical leper. He can heal the physical paralytic. And he can heal us of our all-encompassing disease as well, sin. And thank you, Lord. When you do that, you do it immediately, you do it quickly, and you do it eternally. So God, help us maintain a position of being desperate for you, being urgent for you, being humble before you. Lord, we need you this morning. Pray your spirit would move and work according to your good pleasure. I pray these things in Jesus' name.